السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولقد خلقنا الإنسان ونعلم ما توسوس به نفسه، ونحن أقرب إليه من حبل الوريد. صدق الله العظيم. Ulama Ikram, most respected brothers and also our sisters at the madrasa and those listening over receivers, for the past two or three Mondays we have been discussing what is referred to in suluk as qabz and bast. When the person is in a state of depression, in inverted commas, the person is feeling very low, he is feeling very tight and narrowed, he is not getting any kind of enjoyment in his ibadah, in his zikr, in his tilawat, then we normally term that as qabz. Just as when a person says that unko qabz ho gaya, then what it means, if a person goes to a hakim and says unko qabz ho gaya, then it means he's got constipation. So like that, this person has got some kind of constipation also. So just as the hakim then gives some kind of laxative to remove the distress of constipation, so like that the shaykh gives some kind of prescription to eliminate and remove that state of qabz. And when the person is feeling very happy, very comfortable, very joyous, the person is enjoying his ibadah, zikr, tilawat, is looking forward to more, then we say he's in a state of bast, that there is expansion, there's plenty of spaciousness, there's comfort, there's no distress, there's no narrowing, there's no tightness. Now these two states have been explaining that good people and bad people both can experience. The very pious, very righteous, they can experience it too. And the sinful ones like us, they can experience it too. So there is no need to lose hope when the person is in a state of qabz. The person must not think that the end of the world has come. He does not have to throw in the towel or despair of the mercy of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's mercy is unlimited. I've explained to you the different reasons why this could occur. For those who may not have heard it, then you must get those tapes and listen to them from the library. So there are many, many different reasons why Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala puts a person through these two different states. But in layman's language, if the person does not have hunger, then he will not appreciate food. And if he does not experience thirst, then he will not enjoy any kind of drink. So there must be a state of thirst to enjoy the cool drinks, the juices and everything else that we drink. And there must be hunger to enjoy all the delicious food. So in this path of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala also, there has to be some kind of qabz and bast. There must be some kind of high and low. Otherwise the person is going to find the same kayfiyat all the time. So he will not experience the joy of kaifiyat. Or the person is going through a very low in his life, then if the person loses hope, then he will not be able to get this connection with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is putting him through that for the sake of this enjoyment. But for sinners like us, we must think that all these states of qabz and depression and tightness and narrowedness and everything else is because of our sins. So now we continue from where we left off last week. that after the person returns from Umrah or Hajj, or after having completed Ramadan and Aitikaf, if the person falls into temptation once again, engaging in those same evils which he made Tawbah from, and for which he made dua for protection from, he returns home or leaves the masjid only to return to the same sins without any kind of conscience, then this is the beginning of his plunge. He should picture himself standing at the edge of a precipice, and before him a sheer and endless drop with just one step. The person is standing right on the end of the precipice, cornered high mountain. And now he's there, just one step and he's right down. His skull will crack, his bones will break, and he will move on to another world. So this is what the person must picture himself. That one step in sin, and the person could have gone for all times. Sometimes the sins are so dangerous, it's just like the small spark of fire, but it can light up a huge forest. Why do they say, don't throw your cigarettes when there's dry wood around, or in the forest, or in dry grass, because it can light up a whole forest. It could be just one spark, and we know if you are going to do that somewhere near a petrol station, or where there's a lot of petrol around, or gas around, then it can light up the whole garage. So sin is that dangerous. How many people have slipped? How many people? They were in the masajid, they were in works of deen, some of them even went to khanqahs, and some of them went for hajj upon hajj and umrahs upon umrahs, and after that they slipped. Temptation got the better of them. Many of them, or some of them, even lost their iman. Some pretty face, unconcerned which religion the person belongs to, nothing, but just because it's a pretty face, the person gave his life and he gave his deen also. There are so many cases of such a nature. So we must not treat sins lightly. As human beings, we can commit mistakes, we can err, we can fault, we can slip. But the person must not treat sins as if some kind of a fly just sat on the person's forehead and you moved it away with his hands. We must consider it to be something that can burn up the person's iman. Unfortunately, this negligence is our biggest problem. The person's negligence. And I have said many, many times that this negligence, that is ghaflat, that is the hen which lays the eggs of many, many kinds of sins. Ghaflat, negligence, is that hen which lays many, many different kinds of, or many eggs of different kinds of sins. ND562403, please remove your car. ND562403. So ghaflat and negligence is a very, very severe kind of disease. So now this person who remains negligent, then whatever kind of sin he commits after that can all be expected. So now this person is right on the precipice, and any time he can fall. Many have slipped, and it was a real scramble and climb to get back on top. Many managed to struggle and just crawl back. They just made it, not on their strength, it was on the strength, or it was because of the mercy and compassion of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that Allah ta'ala pulled them back. Otherwise the person could have gone headlong. If the person returns to his sins, then he will find himself drifting further than where he was prior to his good deeds. We should understand well, Allah ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran Sharif, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you are going to show gratitude, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give an increase. Definite increase. Azidannakum. But also Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala warns that if you are going to show ingratitude, then his azab is also very, very severe. Allah ta'ala's grip, Allah ta'ala's punishment is also very severe. So if Allah Ta'ala gave somebody the tawfiq of making salat, making zikr, tilawat, staying away from haram, fulfilling the rights of people, transacting business in a halal way, doing everything right, so at that time the person must increase his shukr of Allah Ta'ala. Ya Allah, I'm grateful to you that you gave me this tawfiq, you blessed me with the tawfiq of doing that which is right. And then increase the good deeds and actions. But if the person starts going back to the old sins and is unconcerned, it doesn't even worry his conscience, then what is going to happen is that he's going to drift very, very much faster, until, as I explained last week, the person can then even reach the stage where he gets a kind of tasalli, that he is quite happy and satisfied in his way of life. He will now find faults with everybody that is doing the right thing. This person will now start finding faults even with the iman of others. That where are you believing in the existence of Allah when there is no such thing as existence of Allah? That will be the last stage. Otherwise, even in those sins, he will find justification. We have reached that stage where people are just justifying their sins, and that is the worst thing that a Muslim can do. A Muslim, if he makes a'tiraf qusur, that he admits that I am weak, he can be doing the worst of crime or the most severest of sins he is engaged in. But if the bottom of his heart, he knows that what he is doing is wrong and he's not justifying it in any way, and is sincerely repenting and asking Allah Ta'ala to give him the tawfiq to return to whomsoever whatever is due and not to return to those sins again, then inshallah someday he'll get the tawfiq of coming out. But if this person is quite happy in those sins, he is not interested in istighfar and tawbah, he is quite happy, in fact he is very, very uncomfortable when somebody has to talk about those sins, he finds himself very uncomfortable. He is quite comfortable if he gets more and more people to join him in that sin. So that is a very dangerous state. And this is what I am repeatedly saying, that we have begun to justify our sins. For everything we are finding justification. If a person is making un-Islamic will, he's got a justification. He's making a will totally un-Islamic, but he finds some kind of justification. Says, I have only one son and I have only one daughter, and if I have to leave this behind Islamically, then my wife gets only so much. And now he will just find justification for what he has drawn up in the will, which is totally un-Islamic. If the person is engaging in watching some haram, then he'll find justification. That we must know what's happening around the globe. If we're not going to watch all those things, then how will we know what is happening around the world? So is that the only way to find out? If the person can read, nowadays on the internet, there are lots of news items also, without all those pictures, without music. So no, but the person must find justification. The same goes with all our other actions, whether we are listening to music or whether there is no parda or there is no other kind of hukam of Allah Ta'ala in our lives, we'll find something to justify it. So that's when the person goes into the state of qabz, and then he finds it's very, very difficult to come out of it, because it's ingratitude to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Just like how we, on disassociating ourselves from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then azab of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala visits the person in different forms. And the first target of that azab is the heart of that person. We're not talking about the physical heart. Great, great awliya-i-kiram also, many of them passed away in heart attacks. And their heart attacks also were due mostly to our weaknesses, because of the halat and the conditions of the ummah, their grief, their sorrow, their pain and their hurt, it leads to a lot of sicknesses. The doctors will think it's high blood pressure and it's this and it's that, but they don't know what the real cause is. And nowadays the murids give more problem to Shaykh than anything else. their actions and their akhlaq and their manners and their character. The wives are complaining, the parents are complaining, brothers are complaining. Now if the Shaykh doesn't get heart attack, what is he going to get? The ustads, their pupils are giving them heart attacks. In the madaris, the pupils today no more respect them. The parents, the children are giving them heart attacks. Sometimes very pious parents, but the children are so disobedient. So we are the cause of all those problems. So that is physical heart. And that Allah Ta'ala is not going to question the person. But I'm talking about when the azab of Allah Ta'ala attacks the spiritual heart. Then this person's life becomes miserable. In spite of having everything, the person has got nothing. No peace of mind, no sukoon, no happiness, no contentment, no satisfaction. Look at the restlessness, the anxieties, the worries and the problems. Sleepless nights, and over what? Nothing but worldly things. Court cases upon court cases. And so many other things which we are seeing every day with our eyes. Or in that home, suddenly there's one monster that is growing up there. And he gives those parents a headache of their lives. I'm talking about those parents who themselves are not even performing salat. They themselves are hooked on all kinds of vices and evil. Then sometimes there's a punishment Allah Ta'ala gives one son, one daughter like that. Then they keep on crying all their lives. They will have everything. They'll have mansions, they'll have bungalows, they'll have millions. But no peace of mind, no happiness. They will keep running for ta'weezes, they'll keep running to the different amils, and those amils themselves will be running a bigger racket. Of course, again, we must not think that everybody who goes through some kind of a difficulty of this nature is an azab of Allah Ta'ala. That we must keep in our minds. I'm talking about the general condition of the ummah at large. So if the person is disobedient to Allah Ta'ala, then the heart, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, his azab is focused on the heart first. Because the heart is the king of the body. The heart is the king of the body. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is the king of all kings. So now when he attacks, then the first thing he attacks is the heart. His azab will attack the heart. When a person overtakes and overrules, if there is a coup d'etat in a country, then they don't go right out into the village there and go and catch one person who's cutting grass. They go for the king, they go for the ruler, they go for the prime minister, they go for the president of the country. First people they want to jail are those people. So like that, when there is anarchy in the person's life, then the first thing Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala attacks is the heart of the person. Makes it restless, finished. The person has no sukoon, no chain, no peace of any kind. Whatever we are seeing in the outward world, it is actually a reflection of the anarchy which is within ourselves. There's anarchy in our own lives. Inside there's nothing but anarchy. Disobedience to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So when that is the situation inside, in our lives, in our actions, so a reflection of that we will see, a manifestation of that we see in the world, in the country. If every individual who is living in their country or the majority have got anarchy in their lives, so then what else are we going to find in the world? Allah Ta'ala is great, His glory and His mercy are unending. And even if He punishes, that punishment is to give the person a reminder. That means Allah Ta'ala is not there like some kind of unjust ruler or something. He doesn't get any kind of enjoyment in punishing. Why must He repeatedly mention about His mercy? Why must we be informed that Allah Ta'ala has only sent down 1% of His mercy into this world? And because of that 1% mercy, we find animals, human beings and everything showing mercy to others. Animals for the young ones, for the parents, for the children. All this mercy that you find in the world is just 1% reflection of that mercy of Allah Ta'ala. 99% He has kept for the Akhirah. So He's so merciful. And He wants that everybody must go into Jannat and enjoy His namas and bounties unlimited. So when he sends punishment, also there's rahmat in that punishment too, so that this person returns to him. When Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sends punishment, there's even rahmat in that. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس ليزيقهم بعض الذي عملوا لعلهم يرجعون. That is the whole reason. لعلهم يرجعون, so that they may return. So it is as if it is a reminder that don't forget your promise that you made to me. Don't forget that you promised to be obedient to me. Don't forget that you promised to fulfill the pledge of love that you made. Don't forget, it must not be that you forget me, because then I will forget you. فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. Remember me, I remember you. I will remember you. What it means, فَذْكُرُونِي بِلَيْتُعَى أَذْكُرْكُمْ بِلَيْنَعَى. You remember me with ita'at, with obedience, then I will remember you with inayat, with all the gifts, with all the ni'mat and all the bounties. So Allah Ta'ala reminds us with all the hiccups that we have in our lives. All those hiccups that come, it is a reminder, it is to get us up. Different kinds of reminders are sent to us. In different ways Allah Ta'ala reminds. Sometimes difficulty in breathing is a reminder. Sometimes some injury and pain is a reminder. Sometimes some accident is a reminder. Sometimes loss in wealth and health is a reminder. Loss in property is a reminder. Loss of children is a reminder. Shake-up of the earth is a reminder. Gale force winds is a reminder. Different kinds of reminders Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sends. From one side, we should hang our heads in shame if we don't thereafter remedy the situation and return to Allah with sincere repentance. Whilst Allah Ta'ala snatches away the kayfiyat, He also gives it back very quickly. In these days of fitna, if a person is committed to Allah Ta'ala's obedience and he made a mistake, he slipped and he faltered, Allah Ta'ala takes it back only to give it again very quickly as soon as the person makes istighfar, tawbah, sincere tawbah. All Allah Ta'ala wants from us is ruju, to turn towards Him, to return to Him. When Zulaykha was trying to seduce Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam, we all know that Zulaykha was a beautiful woman and she was the wife of the Aziz of Misr. And in that palace, 7 doors were locked. Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, whom Allah Ta'ala had given half of the husn and beauty of the world, people of the world. Now she was trying to seduce him. He knew that the doors were locked, but in his capacity was to run towards the door. That's all he could do. He could not open those doors, he could not open the locks. So at that time, as I explained many times, that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam didn't sit there and start making dua only. He didn't just sit there and say, I'm going to make dua, that all these doors must open up. He ran towards those doors. He said, Ma'az Allah. And then he ran towards those doors. And Allah Ta'ala, with His power and with His qudrat, caused the doors and the locks to open. And all the rest of the history of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, read it. So Allah Ta'ala with His Qudrat caused the locks to open. So the great lesson that He gave to us is that when we are tempted, then at that time turn towards Allah Ta'ala. Make ruju ila Allah, fafirru ila Allah. Run towards Allah Ta'ala. Now if the person is going to remain seated there and is making istighfar also, he's watching the haram on the TV there, and is reading tasbih also, will it work? So many people, whilst they are engaged, because they write to us, we know what they are going through. Whilst they are engaged in that sin, they say at that time we know exactly what we are doing is nothing but sinful, it is haram, and it is displeasing to Allah Ta'ala, but we just can't get ourselves to move away from there. So what is that? That is shaitaniyat, nafsaniyat. Allah Ta'ala has given the person the ability to move away from there, to switch off and run from there. Go away quickly, visit some friend, talk to somebody, eat, drink, engage in anything constructive. If the person is an engineer, then do some plans. If the person is an architect, do some plans. If the person is in any other profession, then read some books which are related to that profession. Get occupied in something else. How did people, when these things were not around, pass their time? So there is a way that the person can escape from these temptations. So when the person knows what he is doing is haram, and he remains in that state for a considerable period of time, then it means that the person is not conscious of the fact that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has the power to destroy him there and then, or to bring about humiliation, suffering and disgrace there and then. Especially those people like us who are well known to be in the masajid and with our outward garb also showing piety. So where is that consciousness then? Who are we fooling then? So the incident of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was a lesson for us. In a situation of temptation, we too should flee to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Leave the place of temptation and desperately seek protection in Allah ta'ala. If we do so sincerely, then Allah ta'ala opens doors for our exit out of the sin or temptation that we are confronted by. Just as Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, all those locks opened and those doors opened. Believe me that if the person really runs towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and here there is no question of being very fit and strong to run the marathon also. You don't have to run a marathon. You have to run with your heart. Turn towards Allah ta'ala. Engage yourself in zikr, istighfar, tawbah, or do something constructive. So that is what we mean by running towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And when he's going to do that, then Allah ta'ala with his qudrat and power, he said, this servant of mine in an age of fitnas and in an age when there is nothing but temptation all around, in an age when there is nothing but attraction and distraction of the haram kind, this young servant of mine, with everything going for him, health, knowledge, beauty, wealth, good car, good home, handsome, or if it's a woman, she's pretty, everything, but the person is believing very, very strongly and since that I am watching, Allah Ta'ala is watching. So therefore the person is distancing himself from that sin. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala then opens the person doors for him. Gives him sweetness of Iman in his heart. That sweetness of Iman, it comes in the heart. For example, Zikrullah. There's a sweetness in Zikrullah. Now that Zikrullah sweetness is not the sweetness of sugar, where you get sweetness of sugar when you have to eat something sweet. What? There's a sweetness, a kind of sweetness that is in the heart. There's an explanation of what the sweetness is. It's a kefir. However, there were many, many people in the Ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, even recently, who got actual sweetness, literal sweetness, when they were making Zikrullah. Literal sweetness. The mouth actually, the saliva actually turns sweet. Therefore, in one of the Ramadan, I asked one simple question. I said, which sharbat or juice is that, or drink is that, which a person can drink in the month of Ramadan and his fast will not break? So they thought that Maulana forgot his masail now, that you can drink some kind of sharbat and still your fast doesn't break. They said that sharbat is the sweetness of Zikrullah. If somebody has to experience that literal sweetness in his mouth whilst making Zikrullah in a state of fasting, so now the saliva has become sweet. It's as if you added sugar in some juice. Now if you swallow that saliva, your fast doesn't break. So like that, there are many, many whom Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives this sweetness. So the sweetness of Iman has been promised on these type of actions. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives it to such kind of young people. And even old people. Provided the sincerity and there's a commitment to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. If the person doesn't run, then he is treading on very thin ice. and he should prepare and brace himself for a lot more tests. Because once Allah Ta'ala's anger is unleashed, then who is there that can offer him any kind of protection? Then the major powers of the world also cannot offer protection. They themselves, they know they are not protected. Look at all the elements of this world. When Allah Ta'ala just increases it a little, everything comes to a standstill. If it rains, first it drizzles, everybody enjoys it, beautiful drizzle. If Allah Ta'ala increases that and goes on increasing, and if it carries on like that, heavy rain for a couple of days, what happens? Look at the snow. If it's just light snow, then everything carries on normal. But a massive country like China, and look how it became paralyzed because of what? Snow. Look at the army of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Everything paralyzed. Millions of people cannot move from this end to that end. And look at the chaos at the railway stations and airports and everywhere else. Nothing, no movement at all. Now what can all those bombs do, and what can all those helicopters do, and what can all those jet fighters do when Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala just pours the snow upon those things? Nothing. A little bit of fire will say, MashaAllah, see our meat is getting bright on this fire, and everybody is inhaling the aroma and fragrance of the braai, and it's even going on distant places, all little fire. But if that fire catches on in the jungles and in the forests, and then after that it just goes like wildfire through those cities and towns, what happens? Finish. How many firefighters can we bring to fight that fire? How many places in the world, look at how many acres of land and buildings of even those Hollywood and Bollywood stars all got burned up. And they could do nothing about it. All the firefighters and the city council and the governments and everything can do nothing. So we must not purposely anger Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala does not love punishment. He gives us opportunities. Turn towards me, I'm prepared to forgive you. It is as if Allah Ta'ala is waiting with open arms. Like how a little child has run away, but the parent has sent a message that I'm waiting, just tell him to return. So now that little child returns and the parent grabs that child. Like that Allah Ta'ala is waiting for us. Just turn towards him. Express our weakness. Kabhi ta'aton ka surur hai, kabhi aitraaf qusoor hai. Kabhi ta'aton ka surur hai, kabhi aitraaf qusoor hai. Hai malak ko jiski nahi khabar, wo huzoor mera huzoor hai. Kabhi ta'aton ka surur hai, kabhi aitraaf qusoor hai. Sometimes the person is enjoying the ibadah, the zikr, the tilawat and everything else. Surur. And sometimes aitraaf qusoor, that oh my Allah, I have not been able to do justice to ibadah, to zikr, to tilawat, to obedience to you. I made mistake, I have faulted, I have slipped. Kabhi aitraaf qusoor hai. Hai malak ko jiski nahi khabar ho huzoor mera huzoor. And when the person is going to make a i'tiraf of qusoor, when the person is going to acknowledge his weakness and his sin, when the person is not going to justify it, then even the angels are not aware of what heights this person can reach through his tawbah and istighfar. There are many people who will reach heights with their salat and with their zakat and with their ibadat and with their ta'at. And many people with their tawbah and with their istighfar, they will sometimes surpass even those people. But not those who are persistent in sins. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that some people who they sometimes slip and make a mistake and fault and err, accidentally got caught up in some zina, in some watching some haram or some other kind of sin. But then he did not rest until he cried before Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. He shed tears of remorse and regret and nadamat. And he did not stop until as if a voice was heard in his heart. Oh my dear servant, you have cried enough. I don't want you to fall sick. I have forgiven you. You are mine. I haven't forsaken you. You have returned to me. I have accepted your tawbah. Kabhi taato ka surur hai, kabhi aitiraf e qusur hai. Hey, malak ko jiski nahi khabar, wo huzur mera huzur hai. That is what is required. Mera har khata pe rona, yehi hai meri talafi. Mera har khata pe rona, yehi hai meri talafi. Teri rahmato ka sadqa, mera jurm afw karna. My beloved Allah, what else do I have but tears over my sins? Ya Allah, with your sadqa of rahmat, mera jurm afw karna. Overlook my sins. So, fafirru ila Allah. When a person will do that, then he will come out of the state of qabz. That is for sinners. For the pious and the righteous, we say, read, Ya Hayyu, Ya Qayyum, Bi Rahmatika Astaghith. Read, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem. Whatever, La Ilaha Illallah, read some tazwiyat, the person will come out. And for sinful ones like us, then engage ourselves in tawbah, istighfar, nadamah, shame. That is what Allah Ta'ala dearly loves. We will stop here again for tonight and make dua. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us all such a bond with Him that nafs and shaitan cannot distance us from Him. Allah Ta'ala must make us the fish that swims deep down in His ocean of marifat. He must not be like the sardine that has come right on top of the waters, which even little children go and take with their hands. Even the birds come and pluck it up. Even people go there with their handkerchiefs and with their kurtas and with their topis, and women with their saris, and they take all the sardines and go home. And the people with trucks and buses and all come and take it away too. We must not be that sardine that floats on top of the water. We must be that fish that is deep down in the ocean of marifat. That nafs and shaitan must not be able to come anywhere near to snatch us away. Must ask Allah Ta'ala to keep us protected in that ocean of marifat. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Ya Rahim, Ya Kareem, Ya Sattar al-Uyub, Ghaffar al-Zunub, Allah. We are extremely sinful servants of yours. Day and night we use your bounties for your disobedience. We have shown great ingratitude to you, my beloved Allah. You could have snatched away all the ni'mats and bounties that you have blessed us with. You could have destroyed us there and then when we committed sins. You could have brought about embarrassment, shame, disgrace and humiliation upon us. How loving you are, how merciful you are, how forgiving you are, how compassionate you are. My beloved Allah, in spite of all our sins, you are still giving us to eat and drink. You give us respect. Ya Allah, don't cause any kind of embarrassment, shame and disgrace to come upon us. Ya Allah, bless us all with good health, long life, prosperity, happiness, contentment, satisfaction. Bless us with a life of taqwa, a life of piety, a life of obedience to you and your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Make us the fish that swims deep down in your ocean of marifat. Don't let nafs and shaitan snatch us away, my beloved Allah. Ya Allah, we are being tempted from all sides. Which way do we turn, my Allah? Storms of fitnas from in front of us, from behind us, from our right and from our left, from pouring from the satellites above us. Hum kidhar jaye mere Mawla? We are not justifying any of our sins. indeed we are the most sinful ones on the surface of the earth. Forgive our major sins and our minor sins, sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly in the light of day or darkness of night. My beloved Allah, bless us with the best of dunya, the best of akhirah. Those who are sick and ailing, give them shifa. Those who are weak, give them strength. Those who are in financial difficulties, bless them with plentiful of halal rizq and remove their problems. Give us the tawfiq to fulfill the rights of our parents, our teachers, the young, the old, our neighbors, the Muslims, the non-Muslims. Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq to return to whomsoever, whatever is due. Protect us and safeguard us from adultery, from fornication, from drinking, from gambling, and from all kinds of haram actions and sins. Ya Allah, make us yours and become ours. Koi mujhse pooche, main kya mangta hoon? Main apne khuda se khuda mangta. Koi mujhse pooche, main kya mangta hoon? Main apne khuda se khuda mangta hoon. Ho jaye mera, main ho jaun uska. Yehi raat din mein dua mangta hoon. Ya Allah, ek din marna hai, aakhir maut hai. When the time of our death comes, don't let the angel of death find us in a disco, cinema, theater, gambling, then popping drugs in our mouths or any kind of haram action. Let our death be a Mubarak death. Ya Allah, let our death be a Mubarak death. Bless us, my Allah, with death in Madina Tayyiba. Bless us with death in Madina Tayyiba, with burial in Baqi. Kaash Madina ab watan hota, wahi jita, wahi marta, wahi goro kafan hota. If it is not destined there, wherever it may be, let it be in a state that you are pleased with us. Ya Allah, bless us, our wives, our children, our family members, and the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam with all the best of this world and the best of the akhirah. Don't deprive us of the goodness of this world and the goodness of akhirah. You are well aware of the good wishes, the good desires, the aspirations that are in the hearts of each and every individual who has raised his or her hand before you this part of the night. Ya Allah, fulfill their good wishes, good desires and aspirations. And you are well aware of the difficulties, the hardship, the pain, the suffering, the problems. Whether it is marital problems, financial problems, or any other kind of problem. Ya Allah, remove their problems and difficulties. Mere Allah, accept our dua with the sadaqah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta as-sami'ul alim. وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَى خَيْرِ خَلْقِهِ سَيِّدِنَا وَنَبِيِّنَا وَشَفِيِّنَا مَوْلَانَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِهِ وَأَصْحَابِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ.